What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select. It's our NXT TakeOver Triple X review here on Select. Now, I have I've told you guys how I actually film these. When I say instant reactions, I mean instant reactions. I'm filming each of these review segments before the next match goes up. We have a live post-show. We have a post-fight press conference, so to speak. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on these Saturday nights, and I want to get you a review as quickly as possible. So let's get right into it. We had Breezango becoming the top contenders over Legado del Fantasma, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch. Breeze hit a super kick on Lorcan to get the pin, so they can continue the Legado del Fantasma thing, I guess, and Breezango will face Imperium. I don't think Breezango are going to beat Imperium. I've mentioned this in the past. So much of my trouble investing in Breezango isn't because they're goofy or anything like that. It's just because they're always throttled. They're put at a certain level. And when you're put at a certain level and you never achieve, like they've never been tag champions, I can only take the goofiness so serious. Like, you know, I had my qualms with Santino Marella and all that stuff, but man, the guy won Intercontinental and U.S. titles and stuff like that, so you knew he was a threat. He was one of the last people in the Royal Rumble. If Breezango win this, this could honestly go a pretty long way in getting me invested in their future matches. Now, it isn't often that a lot of people end up becoming two-time champions, so maybe once they become champions and then they lose them, maybe I'm right back in the same boat. I don't know, but I do have trouble investing in Breezango, and it's been pretty tough. And when I say pretty tough to pull me out of that, so to speak. But hey, if they win and they get a shot on an episode of NXT, where's the harm? Like, do I need Legado del Fantasma, Raul Mendoza, and Joaquin Wilde getting that title shot? No. Do I need Lorcan and Burch? Not really. That they're in that throttled position as well. They don't have the comedy gimmick that's... I don't want to say the comedy gimmick's holding Breezango back. That's what's made them popular, but it's not coupled with that. But it's like, I don't go into any match expecting Lorcan and Burch to win at this point either. Up next, Finn Balor versus Timothy Thatcher. It's pretty cool to see Finn Balor get to work a different kind of style. We've seen him work the standard WWE style for so many years that we haven't actually got to see him slow it down to this level. WWE style's already kind of slow as is, but the Timothy Thatcher slow methodical style is a little bit different than that you're getting out of WWE. You're not going to have somebody throw on a rear chin lock with no hooks in and the opponent not be able to get out of it. Timothy Thatcher is going to put you in a hole that makes sense, and if you get out of it, you got to work to get out of it, and that's what I appreciate about his work. Vic Joseph was back on commentary. NXT TakeOver 30, that was pretty cool to hear. Corey Graves on there as well. Like, I'm completely in favor of that. I don't know why the changes happened, but hoping everybody's okay in that regard. Balor hit the 1916, but his leg gave out from the coup de grace, and Thatcher went back to work on it. We also got to see Balor bust out some more submissions, too. Thatcher almost tapped out Balor with a half crab at one point, but Finn fought back, got the win, and this was a good match. I would recommend this one, even if you're not particularly fond of that slow style with the chain wrestling and catch-as-catch-can wrestling. It was still just a good match in general. Had a good striking spot in there as well. Thatcher losing, I want to say it's a little bit of a surprise, but I couldn't have imagined that they went back-to-back losses with Finn Balor either, so maybe not such a surprise. NXT North American title ladder match. It is not easy to create new stuff in a ladder match 25 years after it was really popularized. Really 26, but first off, Bronson Reed's gear rules. It's Bam Bam Bigelow inspired. We see a really awesome spot early on where Priest and Dream make Cameron Grimes do the splits between two ladders. I thought that was innovative and different and not something you have the opportunity to do a lot. Grimes's flexibility gave them the flexibility to do that spot. Dream threw a ladder into plexiglass, which sounded a lot harder than it was, a lot crazier than it actually was. One of my favorite spots of this match, Priest goes to do a springboard off the second rope, and it was a corkscrew flip, but Gargano super kicked him upside down. Gargano getting caught with that Cameron Grimes collision course outside was really cool. Then it followed up with the Bronson Reed dive. Damian Priest willed a spot into existence. Cameron Grimes held a ladder, basically leaned onto the ropes for Damian Priest. And it was tough for Damian Priest to get off that ladder as he ran up it. Think the Shelton Benjamin run up the ladder spot. But the ladder gave a lot more this time, and he made it work. He made it work, to his credit. He knew this was his match, his defining moment. Gargano cracked Grimes with the ladder because Candace came out and started to get involved. He helped Candace Hurricanrana Grimes onto a pile, too. And then, just one of the coolest things, you want to talk about innovative for a ladder match that's been around for 26 years, but still so simple. Bronson gets up on the ladder, and Candace gets on his back. So Bronson says, to hell with it, and does a splash onto Gargano. Amazing! Dream is up on the ladder, and there's a really good shot of Damian Priest emerging behind him. This match was really set to make him look like a star, which, quite frankly, they should have been making him look like a star for the last 2 months. But he did get the win. There was also a great Dream Valley driver onto Gargano, on top of Priest, off the apron, onto a bridge ladder. Jesus Christ. Dream gets knocked off a huge ladder and does the spot where he bounces off the top rope and then takes the bump. Really cool. There was a corkscrew sunset flip bomb on a bridge ladder from Gargano to... I keep calling him Lee because it's Trevor Lee. Onto Grimes, rather, that almost goes awry, but really, really looks great. Then Grimes and Gargano are out there battling, and Priest ends up winning it. Damian Priest winning this is the right call. By far, the right call. An amazing call. He is special, and they need to capitalize on that while he is still special, because WWE has a way of rendering people not special. Damn, was this good. And even after all that, it was about to get outdone. All those spots by an NFL punter. And there ain't no shame in it, my friends, because I want to know where the Pat McAfee doubters are. I told you guys, do not doubt him. Do not doubt him. I thought that this angle was executed well, and this is one of the best first matches I have ever seen in my entire life. Maybe I need to go back and watch Stephen Amell. Maybe I need to go back and watch D'Angelo Williams. But if you were to say right now, Pat McAfee, best first match that I've seen on TV, goddamn right, man. McAfee has his goons out there, which leads to an early dive off the top rope. He did a flip dive onto a pile, and I was like, oh, okay, well, he's being protected there, but still impressive. McAfee lets Cole have it with kicks, punches, body slams, basic stuff, like nothing that's going to blow you away. But then Cole starts to fight back, and Cole was such an integral, important part of this with his reactions, like the way that he would react, he'd be like, wow, surprised he kicked out of that, like the Ushiguroshi. Cole hit him with an Ushiguroshi, and Cole was like, oh, that's going to finish him for sure. NFL punter, I got him. And then his reaction to that was amazing. It made you realize that Pat McAfee was a tough dude. If this match was built to make Pat McAfee look like a babyface in the end, not even a double turn, just a babyface turn for Pat McAfee. And but then McAfee ends up on the top rope and does a backflip and lands flat on his feet. Amazing spot. Just unreal. And again, Cole's facial reaction is like, oh, holy crap. McAfee runs and jumps from the ground to the top rope and does a superplex. This spot, even though it took a little bit on the superplex, you know, I'm willing to forgive that. This was unreal, man. Unreal. That's something like a few WWE wrestlers full-time can do, what he just did. Oh, God. I'm blown away with this Pat McAfee match, and not just on McAfee's part. Like, what more could you ask for out of a debut? He's on TakeOver against Cole. You knew he'd end up looking good, but Jesus Christ. McAfee ends up kicking the stairs on accident, and Cole works over the leg with a figure four. But McAfee kicks Cole in the sack and punts him. But Cole wins with Panama Sunrise. That's how you use a celebrity. They come in, and if they look really great, they look really great. But you put over the full-timer, and that's what Pat McAfee did. Pat McAfee earned a lot of fans tonight. He earned a lot of respect tonight. He did a lot of great things tonight. I got all the respect in the world for Pat McAfee. I want to know where the doubters are. Where are you? I know you guys were out there. Where the hell are you? You look dumb now. You look dumb now. Hats off to Pat McAfee. Hats off to Adam Cole. That was an amazing match. We see party animal Damian Priest getting into a hot tub with some fucking leather pants on. Tommaso Ciampa is back this week as well, but we had the women's title match. Io Shirai against Dakota Kai. I thought Dakota Kai had a pretty good chance of winning this, but this is just really good action. Dakota Kai was already good, but some of her offense was hit or miss for me before this year. I've not seen anything that I would say is hit or miss since she's done that heel turn. She's been nothing but good. I'm always going to hate that Del Rio stomp spot, but the leaps that she has made this year is great, and that's an Io Shirai spot, not a Dakota Kai spot. But the schoolboy bomb hit really well, too. Shirai's moonsault looked as good as ever. When the referees knocked out after one, Shirai yelling was pretty funny. And then Raquel came in and hit that tornado bomb, or at least that's what the hell it was called in the old 2K games. SmackDown versus Raw, all that good crap. But I love that move. You can get a little bit more elevation when you go single arm on a power bomb like that. Because it just works out that way. I really love that move. And for Raquel, that's awesome because they always do the thing where they say, oh, you want a move you can do to everybody. She can do that to everybody. Io kicks out and hits another great moonsault for the win. I didn't think Dakota Kai was hurt even a little bit here. This was really, really great. Raquel attacks Io after the match, but Rhea Ripley comes out to make the save, and she gets face-to-face with Raquel Gonzalez. Now, what I need to see is them not touch until they have a match. Don't overdo this. Don't render it to the point where I don't want to watch them fight each other. This is a sirloin beef sons of bitches match. Just let it happen. New NXT champion Karrion Kross. I'm not going to accuse this of being the best match. It was far too slow-paced for my liking, but I thought it was still a solid match, and I thought it was, I mean, momentous, obviously. I think Karrion Kross messed his shoulder up. This is me with a hunch. This is me guessing. This is me assuming, so to speak. But he was favoring it big time. Lee accidentally punched out a piece of plexiglass, Keith Lee, the NXT champion at the time, so that arm was getting worked over. You knew it was getting worked over. That is what happened. Several holds, throws into the buckle and such. Keith Lee broke out of one of the arm bars with a single arm power bomb. And like I said, it was a slow pace. You could argue maybe too slow of a pace considering the rest of the night, especially, I mean, if you wanted to put Balor Thatcher in the middle, you could have kind of slowed things down and had a roller coaster there, but this one is not going to be remembered as one of the great NXT TakeOver main events. I had somebody in the business say that they didn't like it, so to speak. And I'm just sitting there thinking, man, I saw a lot worse in the Bobby Roode era. A lot worse. I thought this was a good match. It was just slow. And NXT TakeOver matches are not usually slow. So some people are not going to like that, and hey, that's fine. He was about to choke out Lee, but Lee was still alive. And then, even though Karrion Kross's shoulder looked hurt, he hit a Saito suplex and then one with a Doomsday Saito off the turnbuckles. I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay because he did not look okay. And let me tell you, everything I've heard is that nobody has been treated like Karrion Kross has since he's been coming in. Damn. At least that's what I'm hearing. I'll have some more on that, but everybody says that he is in the favor of a lot of people right now in NXT. I thought this was a damn good NXT up against a damn good AEW. We do have our full post show up on Fightful.com, but damn, man. This is a pretty good show, a momentous show at that. Two new champions. You got a new top contender set. You got a Sirloin Beef Sons of Bitches battle for the women's set as well. There's a lot to look forward to here. I just hope that Killer Cross, Karrion Kross is okay. I will be asking about it on the post show tonight. I don't know where Keith Lee goes from here. Really, I didn't think there was a lot of places for him to go as NXT champion. I really didn't. I don't know if that's the case for Karrion Kross either, but I think the big brooding heel works pretty well there. And I don't know if Keith Lee was a transitional champion, so to speak. But it is kind of stupid to me that they made him vacate the NXT North American Championship and he's going to lose the NXT Championship tonight. For Kross, I mean, you could run back Ciampa. You've got Adam Cole sitting there. I mean, Karrion Kross can fight anybody, man. That's the beauty of his character is he's such a heel and he's such a dastardly guy that it's like, okay, well, you can throw anybody against him and it's something for them to overcome. And the thing is, like, who knows if he'll have the title? Who knows how his shoulder will be? And I'm hoping it's just me recklessly speculating, because that would be rough. Let me know what you guys think. Again, until next time, guys, we're out.